All right, guys, let's welcome Dennis Casey of Flogging Molly here to knotfest.com here from Louder Than Life 2023. And Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, how's the tour going? And I see that, I will throw this in there too, I kind of see that this is one of the later dates in this tour. So is it nice to kind of break up the monotony of you know, just show after show after show and then kind of hit a festival every once in a while?
Yeah, it is. It interrupts my sleeping pattern, waking up this early. But doing a festival and a festival of this size is always awesome.
Yeah.
I heard about this festival. I'm so glad to be playing here.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, though, going from clubs, beautiful day outside.
Beautiful day.
And we get to, play in front of probably thousands of people.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
I mean, and that's the one thing that this festival's always kind of done is even the bands that go on at noon, where you're kind of worried that no one's going to be there, they still play for thousands of people. So, and, you know, at night, even when the headliners are on other stages, you know, there's people everywhere and they're all enjoying music. And so it's just nice to, you know, when you first see bands competing against each other on time slots, you get worried. But then you actually see it in real life and there's, you know, there's a giant crowd for this band, a giant crowd for that band. So I think they do it well here.
So far from what I've seen, and we've been playing festivals for over 20 years.
Yeah.
It is pretty well put together.
Yeah. I mean, talk about that. I mean, the evolution of the American festival, you know, of back in the day, you know, Warped Tours and things like that, and the kind of the traveling fest, and within the last, with the Danny Wimmer stuff, with Knotfest doing stuff, it seems like they've really figured it out and like really honed in on what makes a successful festival.
Yeah, I think we cut our teeth or became or got to where we are, I think, is by playing. We did 4 Warped Tours, I think, in a row. And if you could do a Warped Tour, you get like some sort of wings or reward.
Right.
It's a tough tour. But and then we would go over to Europe and do these massive festivals,
right.
Very similar to this. And I would always be like, man, why doesn't America have more of this? Because every country in Europe has tons of festivals, big, small, huge.
Right.
And now it's like you were saying, these festivals, Bonnaroo, Knotfest, are doing it.
Right.
And this one, Louder Than Life. We did Riot Fest.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great to see it happening in America, and people are coming out to it. This one you can camp at, right?
Yep.
Camping
here. Yeah, the one thing, too, growing up, you know, seeing all those ads for those European festivals and being a kid, you know, in Tennessee, in Kentucky, and just being like, just dreaming to one day to be able to go see that, because you would see like Castle Donington back in the day or just some of those larger festivals and, you know, Reading Fest and things like that. And you're just like, God, I would love to just go to that one day. And I still hope to get to those festivals one day, but I'm glad that America's kind of like, you know, Danny and Corey kind of figuring it out here in the States.
Yeah, I mean, the lineup for this festival this year was, Foo Fighters, Green Day, Tools.
Yeah.
I can go on and on.
Oh,
I'm not
going
to list all the bands I want to see, but and I was, it's just like, it's a major, huge festival. It's awesome.
When you hit up a festival, do you get like day of and you check out who else is playing and maybe try to go check out a few bands, or is it just so kind of focused in on doing a good show?
It's both. So what I do is like, I got, you know, you got to have your time slot. So I was like, I got to rule out that.
Right.
And then before I'll try to catch bands, but after definitely I'll go see whoever I can.
Right.
I got a bike on tour, so I can get around pretty quick. A bicycle, not a motorcycle.
No, yeah, a bicycle's good. Just kind of going back to the Warped Tour, you know, that definitely is a rite of passage for a lot of bands. And just being a fan, being a kid growing up, going to those shows, and it almost sounds crazy now to think that, you know, you didn't know when you were going to play. You would show, like, you, and nobody knew when anybody was going to play, what stage. They would just have that giant board of, you know, here's where the bands are. And even in, like, the late 2000s where you're, like, you know, the early camera phones, you're trying to take a picture, you can't see what it says. You know, there's so much stuff going on, you know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was done.
It was, you said it better than me. Well, you're the interviewer, so. Rite of passage. It's like, once you do that tour, it's like, what is there, 90 bands? It's like a day of, you sell your own merch, you set up your own stuff, until you can work and, you know, have a crew or whatever.
Right.
But you didn't know what time you were playing.
Yeah. And that was always crazy for even the fan side too, is because you didn't know when your favorite band was going to play. And they could literally be playing at 10:30 in the morning And and so, I mean, I guess it does promote, you know, push you to get there early. But yeah, there was many times where I'd get there, I was like, all right, I'm gonna get there at noon, and like, what band do you want to see? Oh, I want to see this band. Oh, they've already played today. And I remember one year I wanted to see one specific band, and I was like, I'm not gonna miss them. So I got there super early. They were the last band of the night. It was like,
And where was Tennessee?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so hot.
All parking lots, all just blacktop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the other rough part. Like, you show up in Florida, Tennessee, Texas, it's like all day. I had those fans, of course, everybody's pretty young, so they did it. They were able to do it, but I always felt for them. I was going to tell you a quick funny story.
Yeah.
First year we did Warped Tour. The other thing they would do, too, is they'd hop you around on stages. So one day you'd be like, dude, you're playing the main stage today.
Nice.
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Because you're off on this little side trailer stage or whatever. And the first year we did it, Green Day was on it. And
then
I'll never forget the first time we got, you guys are playing the main stage today after Green Day.
Right.
And I was like, what? They probably had to go do something, right? And it was the year they were burning their instruments.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, how in the hell are we going to follow this? Us with accordions and banjos. And this was our first year. Nobody knew who the hell we were.
Yeah.
They would look at us and laugh like, what the hell's going to happen? And I remember the smell of gas and like stages on fire. I was like, oh my God, we're screwed.
Are you just like, all right, guys, I guess tonight we got to burn our instruments too.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully get an endorsement on the phone for tomorrow's show. Yeah, those were fun times, and obviously being in my 20s back then, kind of going to those shows and not having any money, and you know, hot, blacktop, no water, just, you know, every combination of like just your late teens, early 20s, it's just absolute madness.
Yeah.
You know, you've been in the game for a while, so I'm going to talk about, you know, what are your like top five items you have to take on tour? You know, like when you're heading to the bus, like what's the five things you need in your bag?
Besides the obvious stuff?
Obvious stuff? You know, toiletries, all that stuff.
Clothes. My laptop.
Yep.
My Kindle.
Okay.
My acoustic guitar.
All right.
I'm running out of them now.
A big one's always, you got to bring your own pillow. Are you a bring your own pillow guy? Or you
I already
like...
have it here, so I don't have to bring it.
Right?
Wow, that is so true.
Yeah.
Because the pillows on buses suck. So you got to have a good pillow, but I have it here, so I don't bring. I mean, my bike's always here, too. I like a bicycle. Yeah. So I'll say pillow and bike, too.
There we go. Yeah, that's definitely something you have. It's funny that when you get like the biggest metal dude and they're like, I gotta bring my own pillow, you know.
It's
like,
huge,
you know. Vitamin, you know, it's funny, the more health conscious and more more in the game a lot of people get, it's like vitamins. You know, you gotta bring your pillow.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta bring the, you know, it's you know, bring in your Kindle, bring in your laptop. You know, it's not like I gotta have my Jack Daniels, you know, like all
that's a given. I said that,
right?
Those are givens.
Right. Oh, that was in the givens. Yeah. Part. I'm sorry.
We are an Irish band.
Right. Yeah, you got to have your
Jameson. It's always there. Don't have to bring it.
Just going back with, you know, your history and stuff, I mean, what was kind of your first guitar hero?
We were talking about Johnny Cash. To be honest, was Elvis.
Oh, nice.
I didn't grow up in a musical family, so I didn't have access to a lot of things.
Yeah.
And but I did see Elvis on... one of those black and white movies, and what the hell is that? And then my uncle, he bought a bar, but it went down, and he put all the equipment in his basement. He had a jukebox, and he filled it with all Elvis 45s.
Yeah.
So when I was a little kid, I was just, I'd love to see the record go over and do all that.
Yeah,
and
those
then,
were great.
And then I heard... Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there you go.
And I said, I want a stereo and a guitar for my birthday. And then it was all like, I was just, because my family knows nothing about music.
Yeah.
It was totally non-musical household. And I bought as many records as I could. And I was, music was like, I found my thing. And I was all over the place.
Yeah.
From Elvis to Metallica to... AC/DC. I mean, I liked guitar flavored stuff, so I was into the classics like Hendrix, Stones, Beatles, and it was all so new to me, so I was just trying to absorb all of it.
Yeah. So back to the Elvis stuff. I don't get to talk a lot of Elvis. So first
right, NotFest doesn't talk.
Yeah, not a lot of there's not an Elvis show on NotFest. you know, just his voice and his charisma and just
dude, the way he looked,
yeah,
68 comeback special, right. That's not fair. I watched that thing sing like that, look like that.
Got that leather outfit on,
oh,
looking all
my
just,
God.
Just
and I was just like, he's, I'm a huge fan. Yeah. I could do, and you want to do karaoke later? Me and you could do Elvis song. I could do them all night.
Yeah, you know, even when my kids were younger, like some of the stuff I would play, you know, just to put them to bed, you know, because his voice was just so soothing.
Yeah.
And just, and oh, they could be wild all day, and then just put that music on, lay them down with them, and they were right out, man. But just out of curiosity, did you watch the movie, and what did you think of it?
Which one?
The latest Elvis.
No,
with
I'm
Tom
afraid
Hanks
to. One. I'm afraid to. I like Elvis documentaries.
Yeah.
I like the real deal. I've heard great things about it though. It's one of those things. Like I have all these, you know. I don't know. I haven't made it one of my things I want to see. I like watching more real stuff, but not much real stuff comes out anymore. Like documentaries or whatever.
I think that the kid that played Elvis in that movie killed it.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, Tom Hanks as Colonel Tom Parker, I thought he did great. I thought it was very well done. From what I know of Elvis, it wasn't too Hollywood-y, you know, kind of this, that, and the other thing. And I think, you know, as a movie, if you go into it knowing it's a movie based on Elvis or about Elvis, I think you'll love it. I think it's shot well. It's beautifully shot. So.
I guess my worry is like Hollywood can sensationalize things. I'm going to recommend you a book. Have you ever read That's All Right, Elvis?
I have not.
Scotty Moore. Right. Scotty Moore wrote it. It's a bit of a heartbreak.
Right.
But you get Scotty was like the guy who did all the stuff in the beginning, being a musician, I love to hear about Elvis not changing his socks and sleeping in the back of the car.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that was like, wow, Elvis, he started somewhere.
Yeah.
And Scotty writes this. It's a great book if you're an Elvis fan.
Yeah. I love looking back at those old tours where they would just tour the old honky tonks and a beat up old car and just throw a little box amp and a guitar and a snare drum in the trunk and just go and just drink while they're driving all night the craziness of that time period.
I agree.
Well, this has been a great interview, man. I you know, because of you, but this has been a lot of fun.
And you.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
Good questions. Make me, I can run on, so.
Yeah, no.
If you got a time limit, I need to be, flagged, okay, that's enough about Elvis.
It's great.
It's not fast. Let's talk about
Make sure everybody's checking out the latest Flogging Molly album, Anthem, and make sure you guys check them out on tour. So, Dennis Casey, Flogging Molly, thanks for taking some time today.
Thank you.